The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
I'll answer the question.
Did you order the code red?
Right, I did.
That's right. That's right. I ordered the code red. Well, not me. It was Coach Jay Gruden, but he ordered the code red. That's right. All hands on deck. This is it. Do or die. And the team responded. Well, kind of. Anyway, it turned out to be the biggest comeback in the history of this franchise. Oh, wait, excuse me. Welcome to the Federal Football Report here on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Kevin Stanfield, along with Claude Jennings, who will be joining us momentarily. After the Burgundy and Gold pulled off on homecoming weekend with such notables as Sonny Jurgensen, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon in the stands or on the sidelines in observance, on the day when center Jeff Bostic was inducted into the Ring of Fame. Jeff Bostic, who, by the way, was the center for all three of the Super Bowl victories. On that day, when it meant so much to the history of this franchise, came a historic performance by Captain Kirk, leading the team to a come-from-behind victory. They were down 24-0 in the second quarter. 24-0 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Captain Kirk actually set a record for completion, a team record, with 33 completions in 40 attempts. A record which I did not know was held by one Jason Campbell. 33 of 40 for 317 yards, 3 touchdowns, and most importantly, no picks. No picks, ladies and gentlemen. What Captain Kirk did was not make the killing mistake and allowed the game to come to him. This is monumental, ladies and gentlemen. A monument, especially after the code red. Because basically, Jay Gruden put his career on the line today. And truth be told, he ought to be sending flowers to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because Tampa Bay gave away that football game, ladies and gentlemen. Gave it away. Yeah, as big a homer as I am, let the truth be told. Tampa Bay gave that game away. Tampa Bay had 16 penalties in that game. For 142 yards. Let me say that one more time, ladies and gentlemen. 16 penalties for 142 yards. A pure lack of discipline. Nothing else can be said about that. Pure lack of discipline. And that's what cost them that game. Now, I'm a football fan, a Burgundy and Gold fan. I'm a football fan first. That has to change. There's no excuse for that. None. These are professional athletes. They know what the rules of the game are. They know how to play the game. 16 penalties for 142 yards. But as the Burgundy and Gold fan, we just like to say, thank you, Tampa Bay. Poor field discipline, horrendous use of timeouts in the second half. I know you're dealing with a rookie quarterback in Jameis Winston, who, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is headed for all-pro caliber. I think Jameis Winston is the truth. I think he's worthy of being the number one pick. And I think that he, dealing with the fact that his prime receiver, his prime target, Mike Evans, was under the weather, dealing with some type of flu-like symptoms. What is a flu-like symptom? If you have the flu, you have flu-like symptoms. They say, what's wrong with him? Well, I don't know, but he has flu-like symptoms. Why don't they just say he has the flu? But anyway, even with that, what a performance by this young man. Mike Evans torched the Burgundy and Gold for 8 receptions, 164 yards, and a touchdown. Now, the amazing thing is, their team had enough penalties to cover that 164 yards. It was atrocious. Even with all that, they still almost won this football game. It was the last-minute heroics by Kirk Cousins. It was a putrid Tampa Bay defense that allowed them, They had that frontal drive. They didn't even use a timeout because Tampa Bay was soft on the outside. They know that they were trying to throw to the outside. They should have given them the middle of the field and take away the outside. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing. Jay Gruden has some history at Tampa Bay. Maybe it was alumni weekend for him. I don't know. But I do know that the code red was called. The burgundy and gold responded, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they did, ladies and gentlemen. They responded. They responded on a code red Sunday, on Alumni Sunday. They responded with a come-from-behind 31-30 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, I went on record as saying this was the biggest game of Jay Gruden's career. This was it. After calling the code red, he had nowhere to go but up. If the team took another step back, and it looked early on as if they did, they were just so flat. There was just nothing happening. And then when they got torched for the deep pass to Evans early, 7-0, they went 3-and-out in the next series. It just was not happening. And they were playing with a lack of inspiration. And then, fortunately, you were dealing with a team in Tampa Bay, which was a young team with Lovie Smith as the head coach, that gave up. They thought the game was in their pocket. They thought the burgundy and gold was going to just roll over because they've been reading all the stats about how atrocious they were in the third quarter. But the team came up huge in the third quarter. They scored 14 third quarter points in this game, which is bizarre because they've only scored 3 in the entire season in the third quarter. So, you know, hats off to them. These guys did not roll over. They could have just quit. They could have just quit. So I'll give it to Jay Gruden here. These guys did not give up on him, at least not the guys who were on the field, because this team has been decimated by injuries, the burgundy and gold, that is, and they suffered another key injury today when linebacker defensive end Ryan Kerrigan left the game with a broken hand. And like I heard one of the guys say, if Kerrigan's hand wasn't broken, he'd have been in there. They would have wrapped it up, shot it up. He would have been in there. So at the time of the recording of this program, we don't know the status of Ryan Kerrigan. Let me say this about Mr. Kerrigan. Every Sunday, his performance might not be of the level that you need, but you know you're getting his all. Some games, he just might not have it. Some games, they're scheming against him. But you know that he's giving maximum effort. Never, ever see this guy take a playoff. So we can only wish for a speedy recovery for Ryan Kerrigan. But this is a time for young talent like Perry Smith, Jackson Jeffcoat, to step up, to produce. That's what winning organizations have. The next man up is eager. He's ready. Because good team draft good players. Good teams draft good players. Doesn't matter if they're starting. Doesn't matter how deep they are on the bench. The kid from Tampa Bay, that was his first catch, his first NFL catch. He was brought up from the taxi squad this week. So when you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it, and that's what the Burgundy and Gold did. They played some inspired football in the second half. They did, and you know maybe you know the homecoming thing. It might be a little bit overblown, but if you know anything about the game, which some of these kids weren't born when the Burgundy and Gold won their first Super Bowl. But if you know anything about the organization, I heard Doug Williams say this. He said in talking about Jeff Bostic, what you had was continuity. Certainly there were changes in players as time went on. You went from Theismann to Schrader to Williams to Rippon. But Jeff Bostic was the center for all those teams. So the nucleus of the team remained constant. And that's what the Burgundy and Gold needs. And that's what Doug said. That's what we're shooting for here. A team with a solid foundation. It doesn't have to be rooted in the quarterback, as Joe Gibbs proved. It doesn't have to be rooted in an all-pro wide receiver. Remember the Smurfs won their first Super Bowl? And they went to the posse the last Super Bowl? What you need is the heart. The heart of the organization has to remain constant, has to remain consistent. And ladies and gentlemen, look, I said that if they lost this game, that the bye week should be called the good bye week for Coach Gruden. So Coach Gruden laid it all on the line, saying, hey, this is code red. Because in the back of his mind, he's probably saying, if I'm going, you guys are going too. Some of them are staying, like the guys McLuhan drafted. But this was do or die. This was do or die. And most importantly, a victory keeps them in the race in the NFC East. Yeah, how about that? You know, we could be talking playoffs here soon. And that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this. As long as they didn't quit, they have a shot. And the fact that they have a shot means that they should be pulling out all the stops. I know he called Code Red this week, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Every week should be a Code Red for this organization. They don't have the luxury of sitting back and saying, let's see what happens. Everything they do should be out of pure desperation. And if they come into it with that same desperate mentality, if they come into it with that same do or die, this is it, there is no tomorrow, the future is now type of attitude, the famous gut check, they got a shot. They really, really got a shot. So let's hear no more excuses. Andrew, no more excuses, ladies and gentlemen. Deshaun Jackson, no more excuses. Kurt threw 3 touchdown passes today without Deshaun Jackson. Well, fact of the matter is Jordan Reed did return. You see how valuable he is to this organization. He's a matchup problem. You can't cover him with a linebacker. He's too big for the defensive backs. So he's a matchup problem. And other guys started to step up a little bit. Jamison Crowder, this little dude is a football player. He's a football player. And now they don't have him in a primary role. He's a good ancillary player, a good slot receiver. Even Andre Roberts, who has not been pulling his weight lately, came up big today. So I don't know if it was a love of coach or just pride. It might be just a matter of pride, knowing that they were honoring how those guys on the sidelines, seeing how much love and respect these guys had for the alumni that came there, they were being honored. They had to say, they love these guys. I need to be loved like that. I need to perform for this organization so well that they'll honor me one day. Because it's not just about the game on the field. It's about the memories. It's about talking to your buddies and say, man, you remember that game? You remember where you were for that game? You remember when Doug threw the 4 touchdown passes? You remember when Rippin beat the Giants that time? Do you remember Rocket Screen? You know, all that. So it's got to be a matter of pride. And I am quite proud to say that the burgundy and gold came through on Alumni Sunday. Although it wasn't really quite burgundy and gold they were wearing. I really like those throwbacks. I really do. I like them much better than the yellow pants. It just doesn't get it for me. The throwbacks were nice. They looked, there was some continuity there. Something the team was missing. Continuity. Well, a couple of things I'm taking for this. As much of an RG3 supporter as I have been throughout the season and throughout his career, this is Kurt's team now. It's Kurt's job. Kurt earned his job today. So there's no sense in bashing Kurt anymore. Kurt's had his ups and downs, but Kurt came through today. He earned it. He earned it. So any true Burgundy and Gold fan has to agree with that. Like I said, I love Robert Griffin III. I think he should be the quarterback of this team. I think he should be awarded the opportunities that Kirk Cousins had, the opportunity to fail, the opportunity to be bad until you're good. He didn't get it. So, but Kurt has earned it right here today. So if you're RG3, you just got to be content and be ready because you never can tell. He's just a safety blitz away from being the starting quarterback of this team again. Secondly, Daryl Johnson, who I respect a great deal, and that's rough for me to say that because he was, you know, wore that star. But he made some interesting observations about the difference between Alfred Morris and Matt Jones and the offense and the way they're utilizing the offense. Alfred Morris has mastered that cutback. He masters the timing of that zone, stretch, read, when you find the hole, flow back against the grain, put your head down, make some contact. He's mastered that. Mac Jones has a quick first step. And this is what Daryl Johnson was saying. They're saying that the plays that have to be stretched, Alfred's better at. The plays that need a quick hit, Mac Jones is better at. Now, this is what Moose Johnson said from the color analyst position. So why are they still calling the plays for Al with the quick hit and for Matt with the cutback? That's why they're not being productive. They're trying to run their whole offense through both guys. And they're not fooling anybody. Just let them do what they excel at. And at one point in the second half, they just abandoned the running game, which they had to do because the running game wasn't working. I mean, if it was a close game and you're still trying to eat some clock, establish something, that's one thing. But down being down that much, hey, this is Code Red, you know. all bets are off. Special teams coming up with a big play with the onside kick. You know, they barely missed one last week. So you see some improvement there. You got to be, you know, take that as a positive. The code red will bring out the best in folks. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. Kevin Stanfield here. Claude Jennings will be joining us momentarily. Let's look at some of the numbers on this game. Here's something that stood out to me. First down from penalties, Tampa Bay 9, the Liberian goal 7. Gained 7 first down from penalties. Undisciplined Tampa Bay team. Captain Kirk, as I mentioned, was 33 of 40 for 317 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Go ahead, Captain. Matt Jones had 9 carries for 29 yards. Kirk Cousins scrambled 3 times for 15. Alfred Morris, 6 carries, 5 yards. I'm getting to be a little bit concerned. I did notice a couple of times Alfred had a run. He would jump up and immediately look over to the sideline and see if he had to come out. You know, I don't like that. I don't think it's fair to Al. I think Al is laid on the line. He's played his heart out for this team. I think he deserves a little better than that. If you're the man, be the man. Jordan Reed, 11 receptions for 72 yards. He's two touchdowns. You think Captain Kirk didn't miss Jordan Reed? But what he has to learn is spread the wealth. When Jordan's not there, somebody else is open. But, hey, Jordan is open. Ride it. Hey, ride the horse till he falls out with, you know, from exhaustion. Peter, people, I was just joking. Don't do that. I love horses. Right. Pierre Garçon, 5 catches, 55 yards. Ryan Grant, 3 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. I believe that's his first. Andre Roberts, 3 catches, 49 yards. Had a big one in the fourth quarter. And good for you, Andre, because he got lit up one time. Kurt strung him out. He got lit up. Jamison Crowder, 5 catches, 48 yards. Matt Jones caught 3. Derek Carrier, the tight end, caught 2. And Alfred caught 1 as a safety valve. So you put it all together and all adds up to a 31-30 Burgundy and Gold victory over the visiting Tampa Bay Buccaneers on this, a Code Red Alumni Weekend. I'm Kevin Stanfield. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be back with more after this.
All right, welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings, glad to be in studio with you for a Redskins win. The Redskins beat Tampa Bay 31-30 at home. Homecoming weekend, as Kevin Stanfield provided you with all the pomp and circumstance regarding homecoming weekend. The Redskins improved to 3-4 on the year, headed into the bye week, and look, we're going to talk about in this segment, just what does this win mean for the team? What does this win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers mean for the Redskins this year? Short-term and long-term, what are the full season implications of this? What are the implications beyond this win, beyond this season, beyond this game? But then also, what are some of the short-term stuff? Because look, when you're in a situation like the Redskins are, long-term now, I'm talking about long-term, when you're trying to build something here, when you're trying to answer some questions, trying to figure some things out, you know what? You look at some short-term goals, some short-term successes, and you try to use those as building blocks for the future. And so I think we saw some of those here. I think there are some short-term questions, and it's a good time to evaluate it with the bye week coming up. I think that there are some good short-term building block things we can discuss. And some more concerns, some questions that quite frankly aren't answered yet. So we've got some questions that are answered. We've got some questions that remain unanswered, some things we've got to figure out. And so we're going to take a look at what this all means for the team. And we're going to try to enjoy the win. Look, to win going into a bye week, you've got 2 weeks to just kind of soak in it, right? Unfortunately, we've got the New England Patriots coming up after the bye week, and so we've got to get right back to business of trying to figure out how to beat these Patriots. And when you look at the rest of the season, and again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, the Redskins are going to come into a pretty tough part of the season schedule, and so we'll look at all that coming up. But right now, it's going to enjoy a big win. 31-30 over Tampa Bay to improve to 3-4, heading into the bye week, a big comeback for the Redskins. Look, how many of you, much like myself, you look at the score and it's 10-0 and you're like, okay, all right, let's slow down. Not out of it yet. And then it's 17-0. And then you get the fumble and things are looking bad, right? 24-0. Thought this was code red. I mean, you know, code red means, you know, emergency, danger. urgency, right? And then you try to figure out where is all this code red action going? Where's the response? And now 24-0 in the second quarter. And you can't help to think, all right, Kurt's not coming back in the second half. I couldn't help but to think that, you know, Gruden's not coming back in the second half. Because you look at the prior history, the Redskins have been horrible in the third quarter. And so they're down 24-0 in the second quarter. They score before halftime. And you're like, this is going to be bad. You just hope that it's not too bad. You're just hoping, you know, look, that they bring it back to some type of respectability and you just kind of get out of there without losing by 40. But then something miraculous happened. Something miraculous happened in the second half. Something we haven't seen in the third quarter. The Redskins actually showed up and played in the third quarter. Think about it. All season long, the third quarter has been horrible for the Redskins. Been outscored 46-3 in the third quarter in all of the games before yesterday. And they come out and they play. They get right back into this game. They pull it together. The team rallies late in the game. And then it comes down to one final drive at the end, needing a touchdown. And Captain Kirk, as Kevin Stanfield calls him, who, by the way, Kevin was really easy on on Captain Kirk today, given what he, you know, how he normally is with Kirk. Captain Kirk, one final drive at the end, needing a touchdown. Kirk Cousins in the offense comes up big. It's similar to what happened, really, in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia game with that last-minute drive. And so the second win in the final drive in four games could have happened in Atlanta. I mean, if the Atlanta game, the overtime game, goes another way, you know, Kurt becomes Captain Clutch, right? And as opposed to being 3-4, the team's 4-3 headed into the bye week. Then we've got some stuff to talk about this season. So lots of drama, big comeback, final drive. The team gets it done. They beat Tampa Bay 31-30 at home, improved to 3-4 on the year, homecoming weekend. Lots of greats there. Morale's big at the stadium. Jeff Bostic in the house. Ring of Honor. That's what's up. So the Redskins getting it done. But we've got some big things to talk about here with the season and with the team. Because I think if the Redskins are in a different position, then you can take each game and look at the wins and loss and see what it means for the team regarding this season. But this team is not, you know, what you would consider your Super Bowl caliber teams or your, you know, conference championship caliber team. And so, you know, one win, you know, could just be one in the middle of six or seven that you're going to get this year. And so it's easy to overanalyze what's happening. It's easy to get carried away in the extreme crazy football talk, right? The extreme crazy fan talk, the fanatic talk. Ah, the East is open for everyone. I was on NFL.com a little earlier, and the headline there was a division up for grabs. The East open to everyone. And, you know, and the truth is it's not open to everyone. It's not open to everyone. I mean, right now, it's all kind of grouped within one, but it's not open to everyone. And I know that's easy to say because you look at the records and you're like, wow, you know, the Giants are 4-3, and then you got the Redskins and Eagles at 3-4, Dallas at 2-4. Everybody's right there in the middle. It's up for grabs. Yeah, it's up for grabs, but honestly, it's not everyone's division. And not only is it not everyone's division, only one team from the East is actually going to make the playoffs. I think we pretty much can decide that that's pretty much what's going to happen. You figure you'll get two from the South, depending on how things play out, but you figure you'll get two from the South between Carolina and Atlanta. Right now, the way it looks, you know Green Bay and Arizona will make it. St. Louis at 3-3 now. Who knows? But the second wild card team could be Minnesota coming out of the North. Everyone else in the East, I mean, outside of the winner, if you look at the Giants, the Skins, Philadelphia, Dallas would all have to have extremely great second halves of the season in order for two teams to come out of the East. And so I'm only assuming one team's going to come out of the East. And this is why I say it's not open to everybody. It's not up for grabs. Even though the records may indicate that now, it's not. And so we want to talk about just perspective with this win. Because right here in the middle of the season for the Redskins, and the bye week's coming at a really good time after seven games, it gives you time to kind of reflect and see what this means, and then you got a win coming into it. And so we want to stop all the crazy extreme talk. Don't division champs, playoffs, we don't want to talk about that. We might get to the playoffs, win a couple games. Let's pump the brakes, and let's just spend some time and talk about what this win really means. And look, a win is a win, right? That's obvious. And it's obviously better to win than it is to lose. That's obvious. But what does this win mean? We'll look at the long-term stuff later. But first, let's just start with short-term stuff, because, again, I think that that's a more important perspective for this team. This team is not ready to win a Super Bowl now. I don't even think the team is ready to win playoff games now. And who knows if Romo and Bryant weren't hurt in Dallas, Dallas would probably be running away with this division. And so we're not at the point now where we're looking at game by game short term what this means for winning this year. But the perspective of a team building that way means, what does this win mean short term as far as the progress that's being made? And so what does this win mean short term? Number one, it may be a little too early to say this, but I think it's important because of the psychological reasons that the team finally exercised the third quarter demons that's been plaguing them for most of the season so far. I don't think that that statement can be overstated. Third quarters have been horrible for the Redskins this season. They've been outscored 46-3 in the third quarters this year. Yesterday, even though they were down 17 at the half, even though they had really no reason to think that this game would result in a win at all, they came out and played much better in the third quarter, outscoring Tampa Bay 14-0 in the third quarter. Much better third quarter. And so moving on, maybe this game can be the starting point of saying, okay, we've gotten past those third quarter demons, those third quarter hiccups where we come out and get outscored and just get pummeled in the third quarter. We've shown that we can make halftime adjustments. We can come out and play. We can have guns blazing in the third quarter. We can score points. We can stay in games, even though they were down with no reason to think that they could win this game. Because it's easy to come out in the third quarter and compete when you're in close games. But we've seen them in close games in the third quarter and come out flat. And this team started out, maybe that's the thing. Maybe come out in the first quarter flat to get all the flatness out. And then when you come back in the third quarter, you've got some energy. And so we saw that. That's one of the things. It means that I think this win shows that they can get over these third quarter hiccups. That they're past it. That they can score. That they can play in the third quarter. Number two, I think it shows that, look, you can get past bad quarters and you can get past turnovers. This is one thing that, whether it's RG3, whether it's Kirk Cousins, doesn't matter to me. But turnovers are not the end of the game. And every single fumble, every single interception from both of these quarterbacks is always overanalyzed as if that's the one thing that's going to hold this team back from greatness, is the fact that the quarterback threw an interception. The quarterback fumbled. Kurt couldn't have played a worse first half. Yet he was able to keep his composure. Great job by the coach sticking with the guy, because many people, and from reports that I heard from friends at the game via Facebook and Twitter, there were chants for RG3. And you know that's going to come when he plays as bad as he plays, Kirk Cousins did, right? But he stuck with them, and you can get past mistakes. Every fumble, every interception, every bad pass does not mean a quarterback needs to be pulled. Keep him in the game. That's what this win means as well. Number three. I think with all the question marks surrounding the team after last week's loss to the Jets, because that was a bad loss, all the questions, and really most of the questions focusing on the quarterback, as a matter of fact, most of the questions focusing on the quarterback and the coach, this team could not come out and lose this game to Tampa Bay. After last week's game against the Jets, all the drama of the week concerning the coach, concerning the quarterback, and watch this. Concerning the coach's relationship with the quarterback. Let's not forget, it was Coach Gruden who actually said, it was a little windy out there, and that kind of contributed to the bad. Remember that? The wind? They could not afford to come out and lose, and especially lose with Kirk Cousins playing bad. Can you imagine what it would be like for this show today and all the other little shows in the D.C. area and all the fans for the next 2 weeks, if Kirk Cousins played for four quarters the way he played the first two quarters against Tampa Bay? and they lost this game miserably? Can you imagine the talk for 2 weeks? I wonder what excuses Coach Gruden would have came up then with that. Like, he's got to feel good about this, that he played poorly, he kept them in the game, Cousins played poorly, Coach kept him in the game, he comes back and wins this game, and it was the biggest deficit in team history. Coach Gruden has to feel good about that. Like, and even by feeling good, I mean breathing a sigh of relief. Like, I am so glad this worked out this way, because 2 weeks leading into the Patriots game, after blaming the win, I wonder what excuses. Well, it was homecoming weekend, and so that kind of threw a little pressure on them, and the grass grew a little taller this week. It was like maybe a half inch higher than normal, and that was kind of weird for Kurt. I just wonder what the excuses would have been, given the fact that he blamed the win last week. Now, this game, I don't think, answers any questions regarding either guy. Like, I think, I think the same questions that Kirk Cousins had before this game, he now has still after this game. And I think the same questions about Gruden, they still exist. But what this game does is it buys them time. That at least for the next 2 weeks, and even after the Patriots, because even if there's a loss, which seems likely, but this is why they play the game. The Skins could come out and beat the Patriots. This is why they play the game, okay? Even if they lose to the Patriots, who wouldn't expect that? And so you almost won't even blame them for that loss. So this buys them more time. This loss buys more time. Because you lose this game to Tampa Bay and you're at 2-5 going into the bye week, and then the Patriots coming up could push you to 2-6. You don't have a lot of time. And I'm talking about quarterback, even though he was, deemed starter for the season. Yeah, that's before the season when it's, when the records are 0-0, not when it's 2-5 and things are looking bad. But it buys the quarterback time, and it also buys the coach time. Time to kind of figure some things out, to continue to work on the things that they need to work on. And so that's one of the other things that this win means. Again, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. The Redskins win 31-30 in dramatic fashion. Last second touchdown from Kirk Cousins. The Redskins improved to 3-4 on the year, headed into the bye week. And right now, we're just looking at what this win means for the team, and we're looking at short-term things because, again, that's where the team is. They're not looking long-term this season as far as Super Bowls. I think we can all be honest about that, right? At least on this show, we will be. I mean, you get honest feedback, honest criticism, honest praise, honest investigative journalism on the Federal Football Report. And so I think, honestly, we can say we're not looking at Super Bowl. We're not looking at deep playoff run here. But what we're looking at is what could we see as the short-term progress or implications of this game, of this win. And so we just went through a couple of them, that this team exercised the third-quarter demons. They played great in the third quarter, even though being down 17 points. They played horrible in the third quarter all year long. This game was different. They were outscored 46-3 in the third quarter all season long. 14 points in the third quarter yesterday. Also, we talked about the questions regarding the coach and regarding the quarterback, and how short-term, at least it buys them some breathing space. A little bit of room to breathe with this one. And also, you don't have to give up on a quarterback just because of some mistakes and some bad play, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins played horrible in the second half. And coming off the Jets loss, and then the first two quarters of this game, who thought that he would be back in the second half? And it ended up paying off because they got the win. So that's where we are so far. What else does this game mean? It means you can go into the bye week high off of a win. I mean, and here's the thing. Like, you can't underestimate what that does for morale in the locker room. Not only just to win, but for this win to be dramatic fashion, very emotional, big time comeback at home. Setting a franchise record for completions, did Kirk Cousins. Franchise record for comebacks. Alumni weekend, very dramatic. You win. Morale is high. going into a bye week. 2 weeks of kind of soaking in the win. The team in the city kind of needs that. The fans need that. Because you can't go into this bye week losing this game. Again, remember, you lose this game at home to Tampa Bay. And here's the thing about Tampa Bay, okay? Now, I'm not saying the Redskins are world beaters because they're not. But when we talk about, you know, beating Tampa Bay or in the opposite case, a loss to Tampa Bay before the bye week, you know, we're not talking about losing to an actually good team. Okay, and that's another thing to keep in perspective with this win. We're not talking about, you know, beating the Packers or, you know, the Panthers or somebody. No, it'd beat Tampa Bay. But you can't lose this game to Tampa Bay and go into the bye week 2-5 with the Patriots coming up. 2 weeks of talk regarding that, the team couldn't handle that. We would be ready for an implosion, but they win, and so we don't have to deal with that. Now, I think some of the long-term implications for this season, again, we're asking the question because that's what we do here, this kind of in-depth. And I know Francis Rose on this station does in-depth with Francis Rose. We do in-depth with the Federal Football Report. So the questions we're asking is, what does this win mean? And so we did the short-term stuff. Here's the long-term. Now, long-term implications for the team in general, but also for the season, this is where we kind of get a dose of reality. Because, look, we should take a couple of days, enjoy the win, but then we also got to get kind of back to reality of what this means. Okay? So if you don't want your dose of reality just yet, you know, you can tune back in on federalnewsradio.com and just listen to this segment afterwards, whenever you're ready for reality, for what this means long term. Long term, look, this could be, and it's a positive thing, this could be a big turnaround. It's possible, right? Happened a few years ago when the Redskins made the playoff run with RG3. This could be that. This could be that turning point where you get some momentum. And everybody knows sports, man, momentum can carry you. And they have weapons on offense. I mean, you know, we've got two good backs. The offensive line has been playing better than they have all than we expected them to coming into the year. And we'll get to some bye week grades coming up a little bit later. But the offensive line has been pretty good. Good run blocking, two good backs. DeSean Jackson isn't even in yet. I'm not sure when he's going to get back. But Pierre Garçon's been playing great as long as Reed stays healthy. Some of the young receivers have played, so they've got weapons. This could be the turnaround that they need, right? Just like they did a couple years ago to make that playoff win. But it could be, and I think this is more of the likely scenario, this could be just one out of 6 or 7 wins that the team may get this year. I think it's more likely that this is probably just one of them, of the 6 or 7 that they'll get this year, right? But even then, I think you can still enjoy it. I think long-term that this does not show that Kirk Cousins is the franchise answer at quarterback. I mean, you got to look at his body of work. And even if you look at his body of work, I mean, you don't even have to go this whole season or even in the last season. Just look at the entire game in its entirety. Now, look, hats off to Kirk for the comeback, for playing in the second half. Because it's easy to give up, especially when there was so much negativity surrounding the team after the Jets game. So much negativity surrounding the team for most of the season and in the offseason and then all of last year. It's easy to get caught up in there. We're down 24-0. Morale's low. And you get that here we go again feel, right? Easy for that to happen. But the team didn't give up. Kirk didn't give up. He stayed in. But I'm not sure if that means that he's the long-term answer at quarterback. That's not what this game means. This game means he gets to breathe a little bit. So anyway, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM online at federalnewsradio.com. The Redskins beat Tampa Bay 31-30 homecoming weekend at home. They go to 3-4 on the year, headed into the bye week. We just answered, what does this win mean? That was the big question. What does the win mean? We laid it out. If you missed any of it, just go online, federalnewsradio.com. You can listen to it all over again. So the bye week is a good time to evaluate. I want to spend some time just evaluating the team before we look at the rest of the NFC East. Just a little evaluation, you know, because we always do this stuff. What's the grade? A, B, C, D, or F? And so And here's how I evaluate the team. And I think I've been consistent with this all year, right? Is the way I evaluate it is based on expectations and what's actually the best alternative option at a position, right? Like, I don't want to compare our quarterback situation to the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Because there's no one on the team like Aaron Rodgers, right? And so it's who's the best available at that position and based on available options and expectations. And so some of the big question marks going into the season obviously was the quarterback, the offensive line, special teams, and the defense. As far as my expectations for the offensive line and how they play, they get an A going into the bye week. The offensive line gets an A from me. I'm not saying they play perfect. I'm not saying they don't make mistakes. But the offensive line, given how they played the last 2 years and the expectation coming into this year, and even how they looked in the preseason, they have played great the first 7 games. They get an A. I think special teams gets, I would say, a C+, B-. Because they haven't been as bad as they've been the last couple of years. They haven't been great. But they haven't been as bad as they've been the last couple of years. Special teams, C+, B-. I think Kirk Cousins. See, he's 3-4, right? He's still throwing a ton of interceptions, making a ton of mistakes. But given the other options on the team, and I know a ton of people are going to say RG3 is the better option. Some even argue Colt McCoy is. But given the offense that this coach wants to run, and given the fact that it's clear that he likes Kirk Cousins more than he likes RG3, and again, this is some of the best available. You know what I mean? Best available, based on what we've seen, best available option given what the team wants to do. Given what the coach wants to do, the system that he has in place. And that's more important to this coach. It's not about, well, this guy has more talent than RG3. I don't think he's even saying that. I think it's this guy's the best to run our offense because he's more invested in the system than he is into any single player. And so, Kurt, I'd give a C to. He's 3-4, bye week coming up, 2 big comeback wins in the last second of games, the Philadelphia game and this last one against Tampa Bay. Could have been another one, an overtime win against Atlanta, except he threw an interception that was returned for a touchdown. And so I'll give him a C for that. I don't think he's done anything to necessarily win games, even the late ones, I mean, the team efforts. And I didn't see anything that was astonishing about him that was like, whoa, he did that. And you know, Colt McCoy wouldn't have been able to do that or RG3 wouldn't. But he also hasn't, you know, played this team to a 1-6 record or even a 2-5 record, a 3-4 at the bye. And then the defense, you know what? When I evaluate the defense here at the bye week, after 7 games, I think the defense, given all the injuries and stuff, I think the defense has played well. I think the defense gets a B-. Now, certainly, they could give up fewer points. I mean, they've allowed 168 points. That's a net point differential of 20 points. But I think the defense, especially the secondary, again, given all the injuries, I think that they've played pretty well. And so overall, after 7 games, I'm optimistic again. Not with unrealistic expectations of Super Bowls and playoffs and even division wins. I'm not even thinking about that far in the future. I'm just looking at the fact that the Redskins sit at 3-4, second in the division, 3-1 at home. And I'm saying, you know what? Given the expectations and given where we are as a franchise, I'll take that after 7 games this year. I'll take that. All right, a few minutes left in this segment. On the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. Kevin's going to be back. And we're going to take a look at the NFC East right now. And the Giants sit on top of the NFC East at 4-3 after a 27-20 victory over the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. That was in New York. And so they're 4-3 to lead the division. Again, they started off 0-2. And both of those games that they lost in the beginning of the year, they led in the fourth quarter, and the Falcons came back to beat them, and the Cowboys came back to beat them. So they could be almost, 6-1 at this point. But the Giants 4-3, they're on top of the division. Again, we spent the whole show, and we're spending the whole show talking about the Redskins. It's the Federal Football Report. This is what we do. They're 3-4. Next, the Philadelphia Eagles. Very, very disappointing. So many high expectations for the Eagles, but they lost yesterday to the Carolina Panthers. They're at 3-4. And then, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, if it weren't for the injuries to Romo and Dez, the Cowboys would be at the top of the division, but they're not. And Romo's hurt. He's going to be out for a couple more weeks. Dez has been back on the field, but he's probably likely another 2 weeks away from getting back. And all Dallas is trying to do is stay close, stay afloat. Now, beating the Giants yesterday would have helped a ton because they would have just been one game back. But they're just trying to stay afloat in the East and try to hold things down until Romo and Dez come back. But even then, you can't imagine that when Dez and Romo come back, they're going to win every single game after that. So they've got to try to stay close. And the rest of the division is helping them out by no one really taking hold and winning some games and getting ahead of this, too far ahead of them. The Eagles, Skins, and Giants are helping them out, keeping them around by the sheer fact that no one seems to want to win a ton of games. And so that's a look at the East right there. And coming up after the bye, I just want to look at the Redskins schedule. You've got the Patriots, the first game back, then the Saints, Panthers, Giants, Cowboys twice. Now, by the time the Cowboys are in town or the Redskins are playing the Cowboys, now the Romo and Dez will be back. And so that's going to be a different Cowboys team that the Redskins are facing than what we saw these last few weeks with Romo and Dez both out. And so that's the way it looks now. Got to be happy with where the team is. I think 3-4 headed into the bye week after a 31-30 win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Homecoming weekend. Kevin Stanfield is back with more of the Federal Football Report right after this.
And now back to two of my favorite old people, Kevin and Claude, and the Federal Football Report.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Hey, if you'd like, you can hit us up on Twitter at FFREP. Always love to hear from you. I'm Kevin Stanfield, along with Claude Jennings, and it is always our pleasure and privilege to be able to bring you the Federal Football Report so you can hear some truth around the city about your favorite team, the Burgundy and Gold. Now, we'd like to take you to FedEx Field immediately after the 31-30 victory of your Burgundy and Gold over the atrocious, undisciplined Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Although I do like this Jameis Winston for a rookie. He put up 30, excuse me, there was a fumble return for a touchdown, but he put up 23 points against a pro football team, as a rookie. I think that this franchise is going to make some noise in the future. Anyway, we want to take you out to FedEx Field immediately after the game to hear the thoughts of Coach Jay Gruden. Now, what we're going to do is a lot of times coaches get into that coach speak thing when they're talking to the media. So we're going to interrupt every now and again to give you what the translation is. So we have a better feel for what the coach is really trying to get across. So without further ado, Coach Jay Gruden, post game.
Hey, Coach, what did you say to the team at halftime?
Well, we just had to challenge them a little bit. And players were up to the challenge, and they came out and played. This isn't about anything I said before the game of code reds and halftime adjustments or any of that. That's about 46 men coming out of the break and stepping up and making some plays.
Translation? That's it. You guys stink. You guys really stink. You're stinking up the joint. If you don't play better, I'm out of here, and you're out of here too.
Jay, the second half, it seemed like the pace of your offense sped up. You guys were taking more shots downfield. How much did you have to do with that as far as the play calling?
I didn't have, this is a player's game. The players came out and made some plays. First half play calls weren't that much different than the second. It's just about them guys making some plays, stepping up. Kirk making some big-time throws and guys making runs after the catch, getting into a rhythm. We hit some runs, which helped, and just got into the rhythm of our offense. First half, we had no rhythm, and nothing really went in a positive way, both sides of the ball. I think we had 20 yards at first quarter. They had 200. It was a total domination by Tampa. But hats off to all our guys for stepping up and winning this thing.
Translation? Sean McVay, look here, man. You're going to have to do better than this because if I'm out of here, guess who else is out of here? The running game ain't working. Abandon the run. Back to the press conference.
Coach, back to the code red. You guys come from behind. Great third quarter. How much better does it make this win today, considering you mentioning code red last week?
The code red had absolutely nothing to do with anything. It was just something I said after the game. These guys knew the importance of this football game. They know the importance of every game. And, you know, I just like the way that we came out. We laid an egg again in the first quarter. I like the fact that nobody blinked. They all came together. They all played together. Nobody stopped believing. Offense rallied. Defense got some big stops. And that's what football is all about. That's what team football is all about, man. So I'm happy for each and every one of those guys. But it had nothing to do with any code reds or talks at halftime.
Translation, it had everything to do with the code red. Everything. Maybe I wasn't thinking when I said code red, but once I had it out there, I couldn't retract it. And you guys in the media jumped on it. Even Kevin back in the studio was making the code red part of his show open. But once we had it out there, that was it. My career was on the line. I was coaching from a position of desperation. Perhaps I should do that more often. I'm not going to tell you guys that. But yes, the code red had everything to do with this victory today. Back to the press conference.
Could you talk about Breland's play on Martin, who had an opportunity to score that touchdown, that stop, hustling from the other end of the field to stop Martin?
Play of the day. They score there, the game's over. And that shows what type of guy he is. And I talk about Breland being an ultimate competitor. If he takes that one play off for one instance, they go up by 10 and the game's over, most likely. And he hustled, got him down at the 5. We got the big stop, held a field goal. We go down and score. So I think there's a lot of plays. And we go back and watch this film. I think there's a lot of effort plays like that. There's a lot of things we can improve on, obviously. But when you see effort plays like that, they stand out and they make your team better in the long run.
Translation, Breshad Breland saved my job. Plain and simple. They score, game's over. Even Captain Kirk couldn't pull this back with 2 touchdowns in less than 2 minutes. Breshad saved my job. Bad defensive call, walking the safety up like that. The guy just gave the safety a head and shoulders fake and was off down the sideline. Breshad Breland saved my job. And let me add this. When your quarterback is 6'4", 250, or 6'5", 240, however big Jameis Winston is, why they didn't think of just sneaking him, why they decided to go off tackle on the goal line is beyond me. These coaches nowadays just think they're so much smarter than everybody, they're going to outsmart them. It's the chess game. It's about blocking and running and tackling, ladies and gentlemen. The team who does it best wins.
Jay, obviously a lot of pressure on Kirk to be able to respond the way he did. I think he completed 12 straight at one point, and then obviously the game-winning touchdown. What did that say about him?
Well, you know, he's a quarterback, and there's going to be pressure on him every week. And how he responds to that is what's going to make him. You know, he's going to have his ups and downs as a professional quarterback in the National Football League. Everybody does. And you have to fight through that. And you have to stay the course, be patient, go through your reads, your progressions, keep your head up. And he's done that. So I'm very happy for Kirk. I'm very happy for the entire offense. The pass protection was outstanding when we had to have it. The receivers made big-time catches for him when they had to. So it's not just about Kirk, but I am happy that he's able to do what he did with, you know, all the scrutiny around him. But he's kept a level head and done a great job today.
Translation, I love Kirk Cousins, or I dislike the other guy that much more. I'm married to Kirk. This is it, sink or swim. I got to go with Kirk. So naturally, whenever he does something great, I'm extremely happy about it. And there's no sense in hiding that, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have a bye week, and we're going to go to New England, and we're going to take care of Tom Brady. We're going to show Tom Brady what Captain Kirk can really do. Jay Gruden continues.
Coach, I know this may seem obvious, but emotionally, can you contrast how you felt walking off the field on the first half as opposed to how you just felt walking off the field now?
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit upset. It is quite the emotional roller coaster, to say the least. You know what? But you got to have faith in your team, and you have to make sure they understand the importance of each play of each game. And, you know, I think they did that, and they came out, and they, you know, were under pressure, under scrutiny, obviously, a big deficit, and they came back and fought. You know, we got the big touchdown, got the onside kick, got the momentum back, and we were able to keep it and make some plays. So, this game of football, each week it's an emotional roller coaster. Each day, you know, you read the paper, you do this, somebody's talking good, somebody's talking bad. This week, hopefully, we'll have some good things said about us. Hopefully, we can keep it going for more than a week in a row.
Translation, I am so glad it's a bye week next week, because that means I don't have to talk to you guys for another week. Because if we had lost, it would have been all kinds of speculation about this player's job or that player's job or this coach's job and that coach's job. And obviously, I don't want to tell you guys anything because I got to go up against Bill Belichick in a couple of weeks. So the first half, I felt lousy. The second half, I felt great. Big sigh of relief. I owe it all to the Code Red. No matter what you heard me say earlier in the press conference, it was all due to the Code Red. I put an extraordinary amount of pressure on this team, and I put it on myself, and they responded. Either a brilliant coaching move or just dumb luck. Me being the man I am, I'm going to say it's a brilliant coaching move because that's what I should say. So we'd like to thank Coach Gruden for providing us the opportunity to make it clear to you what he was trying to get across here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Now, the Burgundy and Gold are back in it, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the hunt. It's a down year for the NFC East due to injuries and other extenuating circumstances. But you know what? They don't ask how, they ask who. If we won the division, nobody's going to ask who was hurt or how long that Dez Bryant was out or Tony Romo being out or Philly stinking up the joint. It's whoever wins, whoever makes a playoff run. And that's what it's all about, getting into the playoffs and just having a shot. And as a Burgundy and Gold fan, that's all you want. You just want a shot. You want to be able to talk to people and say, hey, my team's as good as your team. You want an opportunity to talk a little trash. That's all you want. And we have been the butt of so many jokes for so many years. We just look for that opportunity, just for a chance. We just want to be like every other winning organization. That's all. We don't demand a championship. We're not the Patriots. We don't demand back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back championships. We don't think a 10-6 record is a down season. We just want a shot. And, Coach, that's all we're asking of you. Just give us a shot. I mean, this. The people of this city, we're talking Washingtonians. Now, by Washingtonian, you do not have to have been born in the city limits. Because to me, D.C., Silver Spring, Arlington, Alexandria, Rockville, Capitol Heights, it's all the city to me. It's all D.C. All we want is a shot. All we want to do is to wear that burgundy and gold proudly, which we do. A true burgundy and gold fan wears his colors regardless. But we want to be rewarded for that loyalty. That's all. That's all. That's why a Burgundy and Gold fan is so impassioned about this team. That's why we feel that we're part of the decision-making process. That's why we choose this quarterback over that quarterback, or this receiver over that receiver, or running the ball over passing the ball. That's why we do it. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the coach giving us this chance to translate. But, Coach, just let us know what's up. We'll be behind you. Don't think that we don't know. Of course, we aren't pro football players. We aren't pro football coaches. We aren't pro football analysts. But we're not dumb either, okay? So just give us a shot, Coach. We'll be behind you. And you know, the next time you order a Code Red, it's Code Red for the fans, too. How about that? Hey, this is a Federal Football Report. We're not going to go Code Red on you. We're always going to give you our best.